Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Chul. It's a privilege and an honor to be here with you today on the 11th of February, the 13th of Shvat. I hope you're doing well. I hope that, please God, there's blessings in your life. This week, the theme of this week, based on the calendar, is Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, which starts tomorrow night and then Thursday. So we're just over 24 hours from the onset of Tu B'Shvat. It's not the most famous of the Jewish holidays, but just because it's not famous doesn't mean in no way that it's not significant. It's extremely significant. And what we're going to try to do today is explore some lessons and unpack some thoughts on the message of Tu B'Shvat, especially where we're at in our lives and as a community and in the world, trying to make sense of everything that is going on so that we can truly connect to the energy of the time, because the goal is to always connect to where we're at. We live with the times, which means that there's a message to be shared from the space and time that we're in. So, 15th of Shema, we're also going to be playing some music on that theme. Just a few minutes, one of my favorite songs on the theme, Ilan, Ilan. So let's go into it. According to Jewish tradition, the 15th of Shvat is what's called Rosh Hashanah for the trees. It's basically towards the end of winter in Israel, and it's getting closer, it's edging closer to spring. And according to tradition, it's about this time of the year that the trees slowly start their rejuvenation. It's a slow process, but eventually in spring, they're going to be in full bloom. So the winter is like starting to say goodbye, even though it's, you know, still February, but it's getting closer to March, getting closer to a sense of renewal. And the 15th of Shvat, it also has halachic consequences to the fact of certain dates by which you have to give certain gifts in temple times, etc. But it's called the Rosh Hashanah for trees. And although there's not a lot of practical application of it in today's day and age, nevertheless, the theme of the holiday stayed, and that is that we celebrate trees. Now, we celebrate trees by celebrating nature. It's customary to eat fruit from the trees, etc., but it's also traditional to learn lessons from trees. And before I talk about what lessons we learn from trees, I want to just pause on that idea that you learn lessons from trees, that you learn lessons. That life is a classroom. One of the big consequences of believing in God, not only a God that created the world, but a God that is actively involved in the world, is that everything in this world is seen as God talking to us. In other words, if you only believe that God created the world X amount of years ago, and pretty much then put it on cruise control, and now it's been going on its own laws of nature, then what goes on around you is of very little significance because it's just nature doing itself. But if you see yourself, if you see God as fully involved in this world, as it says in the American dollar, in God we trust, and trust is a much bigger word than faith. Trust means I believe in as an involvement. I don't just believe that there is a God by trust. In other words, there's an intimate connection constantly between me and my creator, and I believe that my creator is managing my life and orchestrating my life the way it needs to be. If that is the case, then everything that happens in my life is a message from God. And the question I have to ask myself is, am I listening? And once I'm listening, what is that message? Am I listening? So the fact that we learn lessons from trees and we celebrate trees on this 15th of Shvat it's basically saying the following, that everything that God created in this world is there for me to learn something from it. It's for me to be able to internalize something. The Baal Shem Tov used to teach, the great Hasidic master, that every single thing a person sees or hears is a lesson for them in how to serve God. In other words, everything is a classroom. You bumped into a person you haven't seen in a while. You bumped into a person you do see every day. All of that is lessons. Sometimes it's lessons what to do. Sometimes it's lessons what not to do. Sometimes it's not so simple to extrapolate what the lesson is. But there's always a lesson. Every single event that happened to you today was orchestrated by God that the event would happen to you today. And now God asks a simple question. What are you going to take from it? So most of us, you know, see a tree on the street, and we see it as innocuous, you know, that has no consequence. I mean, seriously, it's a tree. I mean, trees as natural as the world goes. The world has trees and plants. And Torah says nothing is innocuous. Nothing is just there. Nothing is meaningless. There's a lesson. Look at a tree. Ask yourself, in what way can I learn something from a tree? Just think about that. Again, like sit on that for a moment. Like God's telling us to look at a tree and learn lessons from it. Not just learn lessons from other humans. Learn lessons from everything. I'm thinking about, we often use like expressions of like, you know, life is like a race or a bike ride, or we often use analogies of life. But do we realize that everything has a lesson? Every single thing. The great teachers would learn lessons from board games, lessons from chess, lessons from a sport game, soccer. Lesson from a tree. Lesson from a car. Lesson from the sky. From everything. So, in this time of the year, on the Rosh Hashanah of trees, on the high, you know, the high day of trees, the beginning of the year, the beginning of the season for trees, it's customary to explore lessons from trees. And as in previous years, and the show before Tu B'Shvat, I like sharing a song on that theme. And the song that I'm going to share with you is based on a piece of Talmud. I think I've shared this Talmud numerous times, but indulge me again. The Talmud from the Tractate, from the Book of Ta'anit. And it says a story about a great sage who was traveling, and he was thirsty, and the sun was baking, and he needed some shade, and he was hungry. And he suddenly sees in front of him this beautiful tree with magnificent shade, and there's a stream of water next to the tree. And he drinks the water, and he eats from the fruit, and he enjoys the shade. And then he turns to the tree, and obviously it's not only the tree. He's talking to the tree with a timeless message of us human beings. And he says the words, "Ilan, Ilan, my tree, my tree. Bama varechecha, what should I bless you? Shiyehei peyosecha mesukin, should I bless you that your fruit should be sweet? Harei peyosecha mesukin, it's already sweet. Shiyehei tzilchana, should I bless you that your shade should be beautiful? It is. Should I bless you that you should have shitehei amasamayim, that you should have water passing by? You already have. You have all the things a tree needs. Ela yihi ratzain, so here's what I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you that may it be God's will, shekol netiyeh shenaiteh mimcha yu kemaisach, that all plants that are planted from the seeds of your fruit, that all trees that come from you will be as blessed as you are. And that blessing has been a blessing that many, many parents have given, and many teachers have given their students, parents to their children, or children to their parents, where they basically say, "Mom, Dad, my dear child, you have everything. And my blessing is that you can create generations with the same values, that your children will believe in the stuff that you believe in and will have the faith that you have and have the blessings in life that you will. So I want to bless you with those words, and I want to share this magnificent song that is sung by Yaakov Shweki and Yitzi Waldner. It's a magnificent song on 101.9 Chai FM, Ilan Ilan.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
Hope you enjoyed that beautiful music. This is Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM, the Verbringen show every Tuesday from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. And today we're talking about trees and the idea of learning lessons from trees. And we just shared a song about it. Before the song, we spoke about the idea that everything in life is a lesson. And the question only is, are we looking for the lesson? So let's look at the tree and start with a very basic but important lesson. And that is, the younger the tree, the more delicate its treatment. You don't play around with a seed, scratching it, damaging it. Once it's planted in the ground, a young tree has to be watered consistently, has to be made sure that it has to grow straight. Often you'll have poles on both sides pulling in a different direction, right? Creating that tension that allows the tree to grow. It needs pruning to make sure that it's growing the way it needs to grow. And our sages tell us that that is the same in educating our children, that a child is like a young tree, needs incredible amount of care to make sure that his or her foundations are solid. And we often have a backwards idea of education. In other words, we think to ourselves that the most important thing I have to do when I'm raising a child is make them competent and successful. And values, yeah, values are important, but you know, they'll figure that out by osmosis and they'll figure it out later in life. I don't want to impose values. One of the funniest things I often hear from people is, I don't want to, you know, push Judaism on my kids. I don't believe in imposing value, you know, that kind of stuff on my kids. And I'm thinking to myself, really? You do impose school on your kids, and you impose not running in front of a car on your kids, hopefully, and you impose brushing your teeth, and you impose bedtime, hopefully, and you impose so many things that every parent hopefully is putting on their child. And yet when it comes to faith, tradition, that's not important, that you want them to have their own choice. Why don't they get to choose if they want to brush their own teeth, or if they should go to sleep at all, or if they should, maybe they should choose if they want to eat sweets for breakfast, lunch, and supper, and then have a can of ice cream at the end of it. Why not? Why is there no choice there? If a child is like a tree, and a tree needs nurturing from the youngest age and incredible care, then we're specifically talking in the department of values, that the values we want our children to pass over to the next generation have to be shared with incredible attention and care from the youngest age, because it's important. We don't give our kids choices on stuff that are important to us. Health, we don't give them a choice. We don't let them eat whatever they want. We don't let them never shower, hygiene. We don't allow our child to just, you know, run amok into the street. We don't allow our child to go destroy things, hopefully, if you have, you know, if you're a half-decent parent. You don't just sit there saying, oh, my child is naturally a good kid, so I'm just going to trust their intuition. I mean, what possibly can a toddler want to do that's destructive, right? A lot, even a very sweet, cute toddler, is not a refined adult. And they have parts of their personality that still need a lot of work. And if you just allow a five-year-old to run their own kingdom, it's going to get pretty nasty. Kids are the sweetest things, but kids could be very mean. Right? Remember your school days? You'll know that kids could be very, adults can be mean, but kids could be often be much meaner because there's no regulation to, and not necessarily a maturity to self-regulate and manage their own very, very negative impulses of putting somebody down, et cetera, et cetera. So the point is, when you sit there saying, oh, I just trust my child, you know, they'll figure it out themselves. They'll find the faith themselves. Really? Why? Why would they find the faith themselves? And why are you not trusting them that they'll brush their teeth themselves or shower themselves or do homework themselves or do anything? No. As parents, we're involved in our kids' life. Hopefully not totally stifling them and helicoptering them, but we're involved. We don't give our child all the choices. Most of the choices we keep for ourselves. And as they grow older and they show that they're mature enough to take and own some of the choices on their own life, then we give it them. I mean, that's the way society is as well. You can't vote till a certain age, and you can't drive till a certain age, and you can't get married till a certain age. There are certain choices that society believes children cannot make. Now, it doesn't mean every adult can, but at some stage, you have to just trust the process and hope that the adult will make the, you know, decent decisions. So back to where we started. If a human being has to learn a lesson from a tree, and a tree needs incredible nourishment and attention at the beginning, specifically in a human being, that means to nurture a tree means incredible amount of care to make sure that their values are good, that the child will grow up and they won't be a crooked tree. They'll grow up the way they need to, you know, vertical, straight up. That their values are nurtured and not just left for chance, not just saying, oh, I'll let the tree grow in the wild and let it become what it needs to become. No. Society's values are crazy. And if I just allow my child to pick up everything from society, I run the risk that they will pick up all the wrong values. So I need incredible amount of attention and focus and intention to make sure that my child is getting what they need. You know, every day we have a commandment in the Torah to say the Shema twice a day. It's the oldest prayer that the Jewish people say, is the prayer of the Shema. And in the first paragraph of Shema, we have the words, V'shinantam levanecha v'dibarta bam. You should teach these values that I'm talking to you about, says God. Levanecha, teach it to your children, and Rashi explains, the great commentator explains, not only your physical children, but your students as well. Elo al talmidim, including your students. We have an obligation to pass over from generation to generation, dor l'dor yeshavach ma'asecha, generation to generation will sing God's praises. We have an obligation to hand it over. That's my mandate. My mandate is to make sure that my kids carry over what I received from my parents and they from theirs. That's our mandate. That's our calling. And especially when the child is young, it's so important to do our best to infuse that in our children. I'm going to say it clearly, you know, to parents of young children or grandparents, get your kids involved in Yiddishkeit, get your grandkids, bring them to shul. Even if you're not a shul goer, they need it. You might be 40 and established in your life and your values are set and you might feel you not need it, and that's up to debate. But here's what I believe is not up to debate: your children and grandchildren, they need it. They need positive shul experiences. They need positive Jewish education experiences. They need incredible chagim. Pesach has to be amazing, and Purim has to be amazing, right? Purim is only 4 weeks away. Starts 4 weeks from this Thursday night. Think about where you're going to take your kid for an incredible Purim experience. Any shul in town, I'm sure, is going to have some form of program. Will you take them? What are you going to do for Pesach this year? Other than run to the bush the second the Seder's over. How meaningful is it going to be? How transformative will it be? We have an obligation to hand over the torch, to pass over the golden chain. My great-grandmother always used to say that there's a golden chain that goes for generations. And each one of us is a link in that chain. The golden echiton, the golden chain. And our job is to add one more link onto that chain, and that is not us. That's our children. We have to nurture young trees. Invest in Jewish education. Invest in values education. Invest in your own home. Invest in someone else's children. You know, support. Support schools, support communities, support organizations that are nurturing young trees. Organizations that help people have children. I mean, there's so many organizations that see as their core. There's lots of values in this town. There's lots of incredible organizations. But I would say specifically when it comes to the 15th of Shvat and other times of the year where the focus is not exclusively, but extensively on education and the new generation, I would encourage us all to donate and contribute and add value in that department to make sure that the golden chain continues growing. Right? Will my grandchildren have the values that I have? Is something I have to ask myself every single day. And obviously, I can't control everything. My children have their own free choice. I get that. But what can I do? What's within my realm that can almost cause certainty that my grandchildren will believe what I believe in? What can I do about that? What impact can I make? So the first message that we can ask about the tree is when you look at the tree and you see how the small tree needs so much care, we have to remember that our young children and grandchildren need so much care to make sure that in the world that seems to be losing its mind, they never will. This is 101.9 Chai FM. I want to now share a song. It's an unusual song. I don't think you've heard many songs from this group. The group is called Zusha. It's a short song. Two guys with wild beards and, you know, rolling payas on the side of their head. But they create some really cool music. This is Same Love by Zusha. And 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Rabbi Levi Avtson. Now, you were listening to Same Love by the group Zusha. I'm sure it was a different style song than we usually play over here. Short song, I think a 2-minute song, but a pretty interesting vibe. Anyway, so today we're talking about trees. Total tree-hugging vibes. You know, Tu B'Shvat is on the horizon, and we're trying to learn lessons, we're trying to unpack. And we spoke about, just before the break, the idea that a small seed needs incredible amount of attention, a young tree needs incredible amount of attention. And that the human being is the same thing, that as we're young, need incredible amount of attention. Another thing that we could learn from trees, specifically about fruit-bearing trees, is this ability to constantly, every season, you know, to renew itself. New fruit. And what was good for last year is not good enough for this year, right? The fact that last year the tree gave you apples doesn't mean much for this year. This year it has to give their own apples the ability to reinvent and literally almost seemingly have this endless supply or close to endless supply of every season, more fruit, beautiful, sweet, and create fruit that out of that fruit, you could create something, another tree, which will give more fruit. In other words, a tree has within it the potential for infinity. There's a limitless amount of trees that eventually could come from one tree, right? You could just plant and plant to keep on planting from seeds and et cetera, et cetera. It's an endless thing. And year after year, it's constantly giving and has constantly giving the opportunity for life. It's constantly giving the opportunity for nourishment. It's never going static. It's never dying, or at least until the tree, you know, served its purpose. But as long as the tree is here, and some trees can last for many, many, many years, it's constantly giving and it's creating infinity. It's creating new trees. And that is also a very powerful lesson. And that is that if we're like a tree, then we have to create other trees. That's true leadership. And not leadership of an organization, true leadership of our own lives as parents, as friends, as employers, as people of society, is to give it forward, to share it forward, right? We live in a world that often the message we're hearing is hold on to. It's your wealth. Save, save, save more. That's it. You don't have enough. $10 million in your account, that's not nearly enough. What's going to happen to your great-great-grandchildren? And how are you going to afford a jet for your great-grandnephew's bar mitzvah? Is it often an obsession about holding on to the stuff we have rather than building others, whether financially, whether through the knowledge we have, right? To be able to share forward, be able to pass it forward, be able to impact others. God did not send you and I into this world to take care of ourselves. Obviously, part of taking care of the world is taking care of ourselves. If you don't take care of yourself, you neglect yourself, there'll be nothing to give to others. But the intention is not for your sake. The intention is to give. A spouse, to a child, to a sibling, to a community, to friends, to the less fortunate out there. It's outward. We need to make more trees. We're not here just to preserve our own self and our own possessions. You know, this for me personally, there's nothing more inspiring. There's a lot of inspiring things, but the thing I find most inspiring is when you find people who are truly kind, truly generous. They just share. Share, whether it's ideas they have, money they have, their home that they have, just hospitable, good, warm people that are not the whole day trying to hold on to what they have, but are trying to figure out ways to share it forward. And not trying to expand their net worth, they're trying to expand the worth of others. You know, the famous story that I think the King of England asked Sir Montefiore, 1800s, how much are you worth? And he says, I have to get back to you. And he comes back and he gives a number. And it was substantially less than how much money Mr. Montefiore had in his bank account. And the king says, well, are you kidding me? Are you fibbing? Why would you give such a low number? He says, Your Honor, I went back home to see how much charity I gave over all the years. And once I got the total, that's the amount I told you that how much I'm worth. Because the money I have in my bank account, that's not my worth. First of all, I could lose it tomorrow. Second of all, it's not worth. I haven't done anything with it. It's just sitting in my account. The worth is the money I've shared, because that no one could ever take away from me. And that had real impact. Money that's sitting in Zurich in a bank account or in the Bahamas, it's great. I mean, you know, knock yourself out, enjoy it. But you're not worth it. In other words, when you say, I have $50 million in the world, I'm worth $50 million. No, you're not. But what you've done, what you've shared forward, the children you raised, the impact you made in other people's hearts, that is worth. Right? One of the best-selling magazines out there is Forbes magazine, right? The 400 wealthiest, the 500 wealthiest people, how much are they worth? Rubbish. You could have $100 billion in investments and be one of the wealthiest people alive. You're not worth $100 billion. You're worth the people whose life you've impacted, the love that comes your way, your ethos, your values, the battles that you overcome between you and your creator every single day. That's your worth. So back to trees. We have an obligation as human beings who are compared to trees, our obligation is to literally create more trees, to share whatever we've been blessed with forward, to not hold on to stuff. Be generous, be gracious, to know how to give. Gosh, when you meet people who know how to give, not who give, there's a lot of people who give, but there's how to give. In Yiddish, they say, they have a perspective. They either they taught themselves or they were raised by parents and grandparents who taught them broad-mindedness, to give with your heart, to give of your time, to give of yourself without ego, without expectations, without receipts, without, I gave 180 rand donation. Can I have my 18A certificate? And please, four thank you letters. Not, just get over it. Give because it's right. Give because it's fun. Give up your time without constantly waiting for accolades and thank you and who acknowledged me and who didn't acknowledge me. The enjoyment is in giving. The value's in giving. The purpose is in giving, to create more trees, to create outward, to expand outward, to go outside our selfish self, right? As babies, we're born selfish. One of the first words a child learns is me, mine. But as an adult, really? Mine? Me? Right? Why me? As we get older, we learn to put ourselves aside, right? We get, hopefully find a relationship, and hopefully we get married, and hopefully we bring children to the world, and we take on responsibilities, and every act of responsibility we take on, it negates a little more of the self and allows the expansion, right? The less I am, the more I could build around me. The bigger my ego, the less I can build around me, right? Ego-centered people cannot have close friends. They cannot have a flourishing marriage, and they cannot be great parents. It's impossible because it's all about you. But if it's not all about you, and it's about negating the ego and giving and building other trees, then you look around one day and you realize you've built the most magnificent garden, and the love does come back. That's not why we do it, but the love does come back. So my prayer for us as we just over a day before Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, is let's look at the trees. Trees, thank God we live here in Joburg, in the most treed city in the world, that was planted, I believe, right? Everyone has trees all around us. Look at the tree, learn a lesson from it. Realize that God's talking to you through everything, including a tree, and choose to invest in building others, in raising children, Jewish education, and so much else. I want to finish today's show with another song about earth and heaven. It's another BT song, a very, good beat, called Adama V'Shamayim. Some of you might know it from Matt Dubb. Heaven and Earth, and also in the theme of the world, the planet, and focusing on God's beautiful world that He created, nature. Adama V'Shamayim, wishing you a great day, a great week. Please, God, next week, see you. Have a great one.